Looking to go out in the town in the city of Boston for an affordable price and grab some great food, drinks, and atmosphere in the Seaport District? Well, look no further than newcomer Seaport Social. Seaport Social is a premier and authentic social house that is poised to proudly serve the Boston area for many years to come. Their mission is to provide high-quality food and unique craft beer selection, along with a welcoming atmosphere for all those that wish to witness firsthand what the Boston social spirit is all about. From a top-notch bar, great group seating, to their premier menu, including their massive loaded nachos, endless craft beers on tap, and an exquisite espresso martini option, look for manager Jimmy, who will satisfy your needs. A project that has been 4 years in the making is finally here, Seaport Social, which is located at 225 Northern Avenue in the Seaport District in Boston, will officially open its doors for their grand opening December 1st. Get there while you can and tell them Steel and Az sent you. Eat, drink, social. That's what the Seaport Social does.
Episode 121, welcome to Steel and Az, brought to you by Hedgebetter from our headquarters in Braintree, New Massachusetts. Tonight, got a lot on the table, but right. The elephant in the room, literally. Anton joins the boys back after 3 months.
Wow.
How are we feeling?
Fuck you.
The Rays get a little hot and he comes back.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I'm totally not here because the Bruins lost.
Tonight we'll discuss the Bruins' horrific performance in Game
Top
2.
Scenes.
Tie 1-1 now, heading to Florida. The Celtics are cruising with the Hawks, heading into Game 3 Friday night, recording on Thursday night here. A little talk about the Red Sox getting back to 500. Definitely some baseball talk as Anton's Tampa Rays are leading the Major League Baseball and record-wise. We'll get a couple shout-outs towards former guests that are, you know, doing big things. Want to give them a quick shout-out towards the end. Before we get started, I just want to recognize Slight Edge Fitness and Performance. Craig Kelly, I think 10 years certification of, you know, being a strength coach.
Oh, wow.
I want to give him a big shout out today.
Congratulations.
Also, big shout out to, you know, Naz is just get it done. Stevie Naz, viral video the other day, benching 300 pounds. I want to give him a big shout out there. Did it at Slight Edge Fitness and Performance, so I thought I'd give him a shout out there.
He's the first Naz to break that number?
No, but he's like 59 years old, so that's a big
hell deal. Yeah.
He should be doing more sit ups, is what he should be doing.
I was setting you up. That was good. Also, the law offices of Patrick J. Foley. Patrick does a great job there. Big shout out to him completing. I want to say he's like 15, 20 marathons in.
He said the number at something like that.
Yeah, he finished the other day, raised money for the, mentally challenged baseball league in Quincy. So I want to give him a shout there. So let's dive into it, boys. I think the front page of the day is the Boston Bruins, you know, looking at their worst in Game 2. It's a series now tied 1-1 as they drop to the Florida Panthers, 6-3. Steele, I'll give you the floor, man. What was your instant reaction of this game?
Instant reaction. Sometimes it's just an all-out fucking terrible game. Like, you know, like that was their worst game of the year, and it just sucks that it happened. Game two. I mean, that was the sloppiest they've played literally all year, literally the entire season, which obviously sucks because it's one of the biggest games of the year. But I think you can get past it. You can rebound better. Like, that's not them. Like, I think there's a good chance they can just bounce back, get angry at themselves, know they fucked this game up. Because the turnovers were brutal.
It was a lot. Like most of the goals were on turnovers. And it's like, sounds like football we're talking about here. You
and
know?
I mean, Omar, yeah. I mean, Omar had some great saves on some of those turnovers. Like, he had, the guy was literally all alone, just like doing kind of the Patrick Kane, like shootout thing. And he stuffed that one.
Yeah, people getting on Omar's case. I'm not really buying that. Like, it's not like he played like sensational last night, but he wasn't like, I don't think he was a reason why they lost.
No. That six is an ugly number, obviously. But like, four probably of those goals are just like on someone else setting him up to fail.
Agreed. Anton, any take from a basketball, soccer player yourself?
I called this 4 months ago. It's playoff hockey. Pasternak's completely exposed now that they're physical. It's playoffs. You know, it's just first round hockey. Anything can happen. I said Panthers in seven. Pretty sure I'm going
to
be right.
You sticking to it?
Sticking to it.
Sticking to it. I had Bruins in five. Yeah. I'm going to stick to that. But also on the forefront, I was fortunate to go down to Miami last week, saw the Panthers play their last regular season game against Carolina. And you know what? What I saw from that game is a lot of what I'm seeing in these first two games. They attack the net, pucks on net. They're a team that's just going to keep coming at you. They're deep in physicality. That's the thing with the Bruins, too. If the Bruins try to match, you know, pound for pound with them, that's not the way they're going to win this series. The Panthers really strong on the front end there, leading the way. You know, Kachuk's been great for them. Barkov's their captain. Actually, great save on him last night there that I think breakaway on the shorthander. Mm-hmm. Saved the pad save on Barkov. And then I said it before the show, dude, that Ekblad guy, the defenseman, what a bat out of hell, dude. Yeah, I would not want to face that guy in the corner.
No, and him, and they got Sam Bennett back, which was huge for them. I think he missed like 13 games. Like, he's their first line center usually. So, like, and that guy's a fucking house,
too. Yeah,
and then scored, I believe, the first goal.
On the other end, too, I'm definitely biased when it comes to the Boston teams, but I think you can definitely make an argument that Florida outplayed the Bruins in both games. I think the difference in the first game was it Alex Lyon, the goalie?
Yeah.
Alex Lyon, he threw up a couple terrible ones in game one, that Marchion goal, and even the third goal after that.
But he also had, like, a bunch of unreal saves. Like, the Bruins could have had those goals anyway.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
It's not like it's not like they didn't have, like, they didn't do anything other than those layups. Like, that guy was on his head most of the game.
Yeah. Mozart had two goals. It just seems like they're getting it done everywhere else. I will say, for fan experience in the Florida Panthers place, great, like, easy barn to play in. I don't think the fans are really going to get too far on you. Because, you know, hockey in terms of when it comes to the playoffs. When the Panthers went up by two goals the other night, the air was just fully taken out of the TD Garden.
It was quiet. It was dead silence in there.
I don't know,
these
dude.
Damn crowds. Who fucking cares?
It seems like it was an issue last night. Could be an issue for the Florida.
It can't be an issue the other way around. When you're home, it cannot be a fucking issue.
It can.
You're an idiot.
The light was taken out. I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
How is that an issue?
Seat was so fucking dumb.
How is that, like, so any dumb benefit to, like, what do you mean?
I'm saying the complete air was taken out.
Oh, so there was no bonus to the Bruins, so they need a bonus to beat the Panthers now?
A little bit.
Oh, my fucking bit. God.
I think that happens in any
team with the best record in game, NHL any history. Shut up.
Panthers did have the President's Trophy last year. This
is supposed to be the best team in hockey history, and yeah, and Adam wants a little bit more fucking rah-rah.
I think a key component is, you know, Patrice Bergeron not being able to play the first two games. Kind of moves around the lineup. But I think Zaka did pretty good in the first game on the first line. But, you know, I feel like it's the bottom end lines here that need a little switch out. I think you kind of have to go with a guy, I think, in game three of Grizzlick on the defensive end. I think a guy who gives you an opportunity to score the puck. Taylor Hall, I think he's been pretty good this series. He just sometimes he likes to figure skate, get away from it. Charlie Coyle was great in game one. Bertuzzi's been great for this team. Whether you thought last game sucked or not, he's been good in both games. Pastrnak showed up in game one, didn't really show up last night. I think he obviously needs to get his name on the score sheet.
I don't think he played well in game one either. He scored the goal, but I don't think he played that well.
Yeah, he said
himself. He's a turnover machine, that guy.
Yeah, but sometimes he finds a way to back check, you know, great turnovers when they're in the offensive end. He was not able to do that last night, obviously. Big shout out to Brad Marchand. Played extremely well last night.
Played his balls off.
Can't take anything away from him. He was kind of, you know, struggling end of the season there. I think last night will be a nice little turning point going into game three Friday night.
Wouldn't mind Patrice Bergeron coming back.
Are you gonna shout any more fucking Bruins out even after losing a game? Like, yeah, the fuck.
I mean, I shouted out all the Florida Panthers
Shout out everybody. Yeah?
The way I look at it, I did not think the Bruins were going to go 16-0 on the way to the Stanley Cup final. And I'm not that worried about it.
Okay.
Still, say one bad thing about the Bruins. Just one. Just for the sake. Jesus.
All right, you say one bad thing about the Bruins.
They fucking suck.
See, zero analysis.
Yeah, it's almost
Welcome back to the party.
Welcome back to the party. My analysis.
It's almost like you're biased or something.
Is there Tito's in those bushes?
Just saying.
No, they suck, dude. What do you want me to say? Like, I said that. That was the worst game of the year.
Worst game in the playoffs. Doesn't that tell you something? That maybe they're just not physically tough. They can't hang with these big bodies.
After one game?
After two games.
So one game they won.
They won one.
Yeah, it's 1-1. They're at home. Apparently that's a big thing.
They're gonna go on the road. They've had a pretty damn good record on the road.
Stupid fucking crowds.
When it comes to home ice advantage and you're playing in front of the TD Garden, I would say that's definitely an advantage.
Bruins in five, very much still in play.
I think it's very much in play. But I am scared about the Panthers because the Panthers have outplayed them in the first two games. Both games.
I thought it's just one game.
I still have
we won this first game.
Like PTSD from like Jordan Binnington and when they talked about that goalie only playing like 13 games and that they nicknamed him the Lion King. I was like, motherfucker. Yeah. I was like, I'm going through this again.
I don't think
play Bobrovsky.
Binnington, when he was like that good, I feel like that's just tossed around too easy. Like
it made it even worse.
I heard that on 98.5 that they were like, oh, you know, another version of this. I was like, That's not easily replicated.
It's 1-1. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
It's not easily replicated to be as good as he was, though.
What made that even worse, too, is that guy's an absolute dank.
Yeah, I know. I know. But like,
because like he was like a cool rookie, like it was like a good story. But that guy's a loser. Like after like years of being in the NHL, like
yeah,
oh, sucks.
But I mean, if you're looking forward, you can't even be as confident as you were going in just two games ago as going into the playoffs, as the Panthers are just 40 points behind you in the regular season, giving you a run for your money. I know it's, again, if you want to say two games, but the Lightning, what, 7-0, I think, on the Leafs?
Usually it takes seven games for like Maple Leaf Square to just be like everyone crying. It literally took a period. It was so sick.
I'm just saying, you cannot feel sick. From two games ago, you cannot feel as good as you were.
But, you know, that's how the playoffs go. Like, when it comes to the NBA first round matchups, they're more of, you know, sweeps, yeah, you know.
There's five. No. Well, yes. This is the only series that's like that. Only fucking series.
Well, I mean, in recent years, it's usually.
Yeah, well, it's not anymore.
I don't agree with that.
I guess we can move on to the Celtics.
No, we don't. We're staying.
All right, fine. Stay. I don't fucking care. Nobody cares about fucking the Bruins.
I think literally everyone cares.
Yeah, okay. Not me.
You know, like, people in Tampa don't give a shit about the Rays, so I don't want to fucking hear it, dude.
I'm in Boston not caring about the fucking Bruins.
You think anyone wants to hop on your NFT calls? Oh, I got him. You got him. Yeah, so on the front, what else in hockey? Hurricanes up 2-0. What else is there?
Oilers and Kings has been electric.
Yeah, Rangers have looked pretty good. They won their first game against the Devils. They're playing tonight. NHL playoffs have been good. NBA playoffs have been pretty good outside of the Sixers and Celtics series.
Leafs are winning right now.
Leafs are winning.
Back. Maybe they can bounce back, huh?
I'm just saying.
One game might not be everything.
I'm still confident that the Bruins are going to win five games.
I feel like Carolina could sweep the Bruins. I think that is a realistic possibility. Do you see a realistic possibility of a team?
Carolina's a pretty damn good team.
Sweeping the Celtics.
Did you guys see the pregame shit for the Vegas game?
No.
We got to go to a fucking Golden Knights game, dude. It was the most like electric thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, lights just going crazy.
Well, they have Rachel Starr in the middle of the
ice? Probably. That might have been like before it got televised. You know what I mean?
They made a football stadium and they put a nightclub in it. It's like, you're buying tickets to a fucking football game? You're going to go to a nightclub? Are you fucking kidding me? That's my own personal hell.
They're about to move the Oakland A's to Vegas.
Are they?
Yeah. They're looking in on...
That's not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea either.
Also, baseball Kraken taking the win.
Great moves.
Kraken taking the win. Kraken. Game one. Seattle's a team to look out for. I'm not sure if they're going to get it done against Colorado, but taking the first game, it's pretty damn good.
Oh, huge, huge. Great jerseys. I like the Kraken.
Yeah. Great
Kraken's
stuff.
A good name. It's like it's almost a gimmicky name, like the Thrashers were, but like
Thrashers should have never left. That was a great franchise.
When that happened, people that like knew what a Kraken was, like loved it. And then like the other half of like Twitter was like, what the fuck is that?
Well, anytime there's like the Guardians, it's like it's not that bad of a name.
No.
The Commanders, not a terrible name, but people are just like ripping.
Yeah, Washington football team was way better though.
That was outrageously funny.
I'm just like, saying, people just love to be outraged, no matter fucking what. It just grow up, people.
Speaking of outraged, if I was the Atlanta Hawks, I'd be a little outraged in this series. The Boston Celtics lead 2-0 after convincing 119-106 win in game two. They're going to be going back at it in Atlanta Friday night. So on the forefront here, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown doing what they can. I've been kind of watching in and out of the games because there's no excuse to lose to this Atlanta Hawks team even one game. I think if this isn't a sweep, it's kind of a disappointment. Obviously, whatever it takes to win the series to get to the next round, that's the goal. But these guys should not be competing with the Celtics.
No, absolutely not. We would say, like what we said in the preview, like I was like, us versus the Heat, like that might go 6 or 7. That'll be series. I was like, if we play the Hawks, I'm on to the second round. Like, yeah. I don't even fucking. Like,
the Hawks have a lot of good talent. They're not a good team.
They do. They do.
No, that's fair.
They're, I mean, Murray's I can see them beating us one game in Atlanta. I can definitely see a 5-game. But it, in general, as a whole, the NBA, the Celtics don't win at all. It sucks. Like, this is a failed season. This is it. Yeah, the pathways are clearing.
It is.
We match up extremely well against Philly. Cleveland, I think I'd be the most scared of.
Yeah, I think they match up well against Milwaukee.
That series,
too.
Anyway. Yeah. Like them and the Knicks. Like, I think, well, I think they'll come out of it. But, the Knicks had our number the last two times.
I'm not worried about the Knicks, though.
In a playoff series, a little bit different.
Giannis, you know, a healthy Giannis is scary. And on the other side, it's like, I mean, if the Warriors go down, they worried me just being in the Celtics' head.
Hey, the play of Derek White, though, he's been great.
The Celtics have been – I mean, Brogdon was a huge, huge ad, and he'd be a huge ad. He would have been a huge ad in the finals last year. He makes his free throws. He doesn't turn the ball over. That's what they were doing left.
Yeah, no, it's great. Yeah, solid player.
And they went off about how when DeJounte Murray played for the Spurs, about how much he would be undervaluing Derek White, and when – during practice, I don't know, when Pop would, like, be – putting Derek White in like next to Murray, being like, oh, this guy's not on my level. I think you see in the first round, I know Murray's putting up numbers playing well, but seems like Derek White's quite the player, huh?
Yeah, he's hell of a player. I mean, this is the best Derek White will ever be. And, you know, what we got in the trades for both Brogdon and White was just absolute
nonsense.
Yeah.
Brad has been great. I mean, getting Horford for Kemba. Every move he's made, it's completely underrated. And if we don't win at all, it's like, we could lose Jaylen Brown and say like just the superstar moves. Our window's over already, which is crazy in the NBA because that sucks.
I don't think the window's over.
I don't think
if we lose Brown and like say like Damian Lillard goes somewhere or
there is no sport more than like the NBA though that like your window opens and closes so quick.
It could be pretty over.
Like that could close, but then it could literally open with a new move like a week after.
That's another conversation for a different day. But Jaylen Brown, he's going to make an all NBA team, which means he's going to be qualified for the maximum worth over $100 million. So like he's going to come back. I know he is.
Well, yeah, the new rules. The commissioner there. You know, he's made it. He's been. You're able to incentivize to keep your stars. Yeah. So like you can, the Celtics can pay way more than any other team, but you know, if they lose again, this is the fourth Eastern Conference Finals. If they make it, that Jaylen Brown will have been in. How many times are you going to say, all right, I'm not losing
here? That's wild. Yeah, you're right.
And it is wild because he's like 25.
I think it's really fascinating, too. You see, just in this series, it's the playoffs now, how much they cut their bench. I mean, they're playing 8 guys off the bench. It's Hauser, Rob Williams, and Brogdon. Grant Williams doesn't even get any time. So, I mean, I don't know what – maybe it's just a matchups thing. Maybe they're like, no. Oh, we don't even need him.
Well, last year
you cut your bench.
Like,
that's what you do.
No. I do say cut the bench, but Grant Williams getting no pull.
The only time we should see Grant Williams is if we play the Bucks because he guards Giannis.
Stand in front of Giannis, stand in front of.
But
Giannis.
He played all. He played all last playoff run. I realize you got a guy named Malcolm Brogdon now, but like, and Sam Hauser has been pretty good. But Grant Williams been.
We might even see Gallinari if somehow. Like he might even sneak in.
That's lurking out there. Yeah, that is lurking out there.
A little possibility.
That'd be sick. Like if he came in, just drained a three, and like
he's good for 2 or 3. Like I mean.
The Hawks.
Hauser's not gonna. I hope we don't see. If we see Hauser out there, it means we're blowing them out or we're getting blown up.
Yeah, he played 15 minutes the other night. He's a good shooter.
He's a good shooter. My dad, like, I can't fucking stand.
He's playing better defense.
Yeah, he's okay. I'm fine with the 8 that they got out there or just whatever, 7.
Atlanta was commenting too the other night how, you know, great Al Horford's been on the defensive end, and I couldn't agree more. I think he's a big nucleus of this team. Because you look past the Jays, and it's crazy to see the names that come to play of who else you have in this. If you have Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown next to all these guys, and Horford, Smart, White, Rob Williams, Malcolm Brogdon, you know, that those are just key names right there.
Yep.
That kind of give you the DNA to win the title.
Yeah, I saw something. It was like a Hawks thing, and it was like, it was a couple of days ago they tweeted like, who on the Celtics is going to like cover Collins? And then like some Celtics fan just like quote tweeted it with the video of like Rob Williams and Al Horford just like having him in hell.
Like, I mean,
just
I,
absolutely locking
I
him
mean,
up.
I mean, I feel like the Celtics, Matt, like they could, you could put four, you could put Tatum on him. You could have put Brown on him. I think they'd be doing okay. Yeah. I wouldn't put Tatum on him, but.
No, I mean, they're a very long team.
Yeah, like they're, that, like, they're the matchup problem. And yeah. That's the difference between, you know, you're used to saying, oh, it's a bad matchup for the Celtics, you know, all the time. And now where's the matchup issue? And
yeah, I don't think there's a team that I'm.
The Cleveland Cavaliers. That's the one team that we do. They have two bigs that are really.
Yeah, they blew.
But we have a healthy.
They blew the Knicks out the other night.
I feel as long as he stays healthy, it's been the key.
Should we be looking forward to Philly already?
Yeah. I think Philly should be looking forward to us as well.
I think Philly's gonna be a tough out.
No,
but that was a Bush.
Bush talking. Heavy.
Bush. Official sponsor. I think. We match up again really well against Philly. Joel Embiid's an issue, but he's a problem for anybody. I mean, that guy is an absolute moose that can, like, literally break my ankles. It's unbelievable. I mean, that's not saying much, but, like, he is that good. He's huge.
He had that, like, 50-point game versus us, and, like, yeah. Still, like, couldn't even do it like that. Like,
you know, you're not playing Rob. I mean, Rob's not – probably wasn't even playing.
No, is James Harden done? You think he'll be
role player?
He'll be a factor in that series.
No,
he has to be if they want a chance.
If they want
to
win,
if they want to, if for the Sixers, they need him to be. But
I mean that Maxi point guard. See, that's they need him, and you know I like our guards to defend.
Yeah,
the opposing guards.
They ask way too much of that guy, Tyrese Maxi. He's a good player, but come on.
And then and then you know you got Harris and whatnot, and there he you know. Brown and the Jays are just going to do their thing. We match up very, very well. The Cleveland team with Mitchell, again, they scare me with Mitchell and Garland and the two big men, Allen and
it's a good young team.
Yeah, they're very, very – but I think they're not ready yet. I think next year they're a lot more scary. I think, you know, you still have the Bucks who have not lost a playoff series with a healthy Giannis, Middleton. And Holiday. For like 4 or 5 years, you know, they've only lost when they're not healthy. But they're not healthy, so you know, those anything short of honestly a championship is a disappointment this year for me for the Celtics, unless like say the Phoenix Suns get on the level and they beat you and they're just a better team. I can that's the only time I'll accept
light the beam,
they get it to it.
If they beat us, I will be ripped.
I am so in on this Kings team.
I'm out.
No. So in.
I'm fine. I don't care about the Kings. Like if they beat us, I'll be so ripped shit.
Light the beam.
I hope they beat them 4-0.
Warriors. No, dude, I need it.
Well, the Warriors record on the road, switching gears here to the rest of the NBA playoffs, is like, you know, 7 for the century, I think, in the regular season.
Yeah, they're like 8-30 on the road, like literally.
So, like, I feel like they could definitely make it interesting. I think the whole Western Conference playoffs has been pretty good.
Yeah,
outside
it's wide open.
I mean, Denver, Minnesota, I think Denver's going to take that. Yeah. But, you know, even LeBron versus John Morant there, Dylan Brooks talking shit. I don't agree with that.
I think what Dylan Brooks is doing, though, like a shitty player, like a someone who gets his million, couple million, well, why not?
That's what Pat Beverly's done for years.
It's Pat Beverly, dude. Go out there.
Now you know who he is. Now he has a brand for him.
Go out there, get like 3 points, maybe an assist, and talk your shit. Love those players.
But I think that, speaking of the Suns, I think that's the most fascinating series of all of the series in the first round. You got Kawhi Leonard waking up out of bed, hasn't played all season, scored 38 in game one. I think it's tied 1-1. I think they're playing late tonight.
He's out, though. Kawhi's out.
Of course he is.
Yeah, knee soreness.
Wake him up in the finals.
Yeah. But, the Suns are, you know, Suns, they don't really have that chemistry that the Celtics have.
What I'm saying. That's the reason only if the only way the Celtics, like, I'm okay with them losing is if the Suns just kind of click. They just like turn it on. They're a better team. They're just a better team. They're a good.
They have better players.
Yeah, that's the only way. If they, Otherwise, it's just it's Celtics are just a complete bust.
I don't know though, because like I don't know, the Jays are the best tandem in the league.
They are, and they have a fucking great team. They should not lose.
They should not lose.
Everything is working in their favor. People are getting banged up and bruised, and it's just how it is.
Yeah,
it's just gonna come back. Because I mean, I hate comparing like sport to sport, but I guess I do it a lot. But you know, when it comes down to dealing with adversity, I'm kind of. If you look at the Bruins here, you know, they're going through some shit. See how they respond. The Celtics aren't going to have to go through that till probably next round, maybe the round after. I feel like that really defines you when, you know, your back's against the wall. Like last year when they were down 3-2 against the Milwaukee Bucks, they came back, they answered the bell, and they're going to need to, you know, have one of those stretches. I just feel – I don't see them going like 16-0. There's going to be some type of – you know, difficulty. There's going to be some type of...
Well, like Philly and Joel Embiid, they're so fucking sick of losing to the Celtics.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's going to be a street fight.
Literally, yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Like they're going to be ready for war, man. I'd be fucking pissed.
I just think of DC where it's like when he loses to John Bones for like the second or third time, he's like, it's not a rivalry when you can't win. It's the same thing with Philly.
Yeah, Joel said that quote the same too thing, about the Celtics. Yeah. Like he was like, they kicked the shit out of us. Like I thought, like it's not a rivalry. Like he's so sick of losing to this. Like he might average like 40 a game in that series. I still think we win.
He's going to.
Yeah.
Last thing on the Celtics series for me. Trae Young overrated.
Okay, yes, completely. Like wildly.
Completely. He's like a Trae. He can't play defense. He's like, they pick on him. I feel like he's just like a horrible. Like I think his teammates must be like, oh, fuck. This guy's just gonna huck up fucking 45 shots and kind of like in a Isaiah, game and just not
hit
defense.
10 of them and
yeah,
fucking.
Kind of like Isaiah.
Isaiah Thomas. He's like the same.
He's a better Isaiah, but
I don't know, dude. 53.
Oh my god, you love that little fucking. Cover.
I love him, man.
No, he's
yeah. Him. What? One of them's a winner. One of them's a winner.
Goddamn winner.
No, yeah, I mean, like, DeJounte Murray, I think they thought would compliment him better than I think he does. It's a lot of going around, you know. They thought Capella, you know, the guy doesn't shoot. He's just a rebound machine. And then you have Collins, who's just an athletic big. And then you have, you know, Bogdanovich, where, you know, Hunter, they're role players. They on paper, it seems like everything lines up. But it just, like, when you watch it, it's just like they're I thought they were better than this. That's like the first
wildly thing you said. Unorganized. Yeah, like wildly unorganized.
Maybe it's the coach.
Team.
Maybe
they
just could be.
Me and Craig were sitting there doing the pod last week, and they were playing the Heat. And I'm on the pod last week. I'm like, God damn it, we're playing the Heat in the first round. It's gonna be, you know, the Celtics will win, but it'll be a deep series. Then I see the Hawks are up by 15. I'm like, all right, let's fucking go. We want to play this team.
Well, people were saying like that the Heat literally tanked. To play
that was out
the
there.
Bucks.
They like the Heat wanted the Bucks.
Like,
yeah.
That's like ridiculous that to do. Because if you lose, you have to play a playing
they
game.
They barely beat the Bulls in the eighth place game.
I was like, that's a ridiculous thing to say.
Well, yeah. Well, like the Hawks and the Bulls, like no fear of them in a series or anything, but those are tough teams to play in like a one game fucking thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you gotta beat them.
Oh no,
like,
the game plan for one game in comparison to seven games is way different.
Yeah, like that, like Trae Young and fucking Zach LaVine. Like I wouldn't want to play either of them in a one game fucking thing. Fuck like they that. Can give you that one game fucking 40-point game.
Trae Young, I had him over 24.5 the other night. How guess how many points he had?
24.
Nice.
Fuck.
Loser.
Sorry, we got it back on the Devers double today. That was big.
Yeah, whatever.
Christian Cassis, anytime hit today, beat out an infield single. Teams nice. Back to 10-10, transitioning on to the baseball minute.
They're the worst 10-10 team in the history of baseball.
But I fucking love it.
They should be 5-15.
It is entertaining so far.
How is it entertaining?
I'm having a ball watching this team. Rafael Devers leading the way. In the league with home runs, I think he's tied with 7. Verdugo has been their best. I think their best overall player so far. On the pitching side, Kelly Jansen has proved time and time again one of the best closers in baseball. 10-10. Obviously, they should probably be like 5-15 the way they've played. I was obviously just talking them up because
of course
I have the time. But you look at the, you know, Brian Bale, tough start to begin. Garrett Whitlock comes back, has a great seven-inning start. Even Tanner Hawken, I know they want to put him in the bullpen, but comes out, throws seven innings today. They blew out the Twins.
That guy's filthy, and why do you guys want him in the bullpen?
Because they think he can't get around a third fucking in the rotation. And I don't – any fucking idiot who thinks that they – already know that in the beginning of the season of a young guy is an absolute moron.
That slider can strike you out nine times in a fucking row, man. Like, that's so dumb.
I don't think you should assume that. Like, any pitcher can get around a third time.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think it's the stupidest thing you can kind of
make him a starter, put him at six. Like, fuck.
No, they're... You go.
I think, because Whitlock, they want in the bullpen as well. And he's gone back and forth, but they... I mean, have you seen the new rule changes that they're experimenting with in the Atlantic League?
Yeah, that's stupid.
I think it's retarded, but yeah. Like, I love that baseball's watchable this year. Like, baseball's
it's
like,
very watchable.
Like for the average fun. Person, like,
oh, yeah. It's fun.
It's they finish games in under 2 hours, but they're trying to, you know, slow down the pitch changes, the amount of pitch changes, you know, and I will blame the Rays for that. I think they started that. They started the fire.
They definitely started the like fucking 11 pitchers in a game. Yeah, they definitely.
They're still fucking doing it. And they're beating you. They beat the Reds. What was it? They only allowed like 2 runs in 3 games against the Red Sox with 9 different pitchers. It's like that's just complete dominance. That's not one. That's not, you know, Sandy.
No,
Koufax,
what was it like opening like 10-game win streak or something?
They were 13. They're 13-0, I think.
Who's like this? Those weren't just like race, like race. Those were like 13 straight like convincing.
The Red Sox like, and the Rays like did not belong on the same field.
Yeah,
I know that's easy to say, but they did not.
I will say the Red Sox responded nice. They took 3 out of 4 after they took 2 out of 3 from the Twins. I think their starting pitching is what. How far can this team go? Is their starting pitching and the already exits I already want to make out? Corey Kluber, 4 games in, 780 ERA, throwing an average 86-mile-an-hour fastball. Get him off my team. Irish Pub, do they need a new reliever? We might need one. And then James Paxton throwing in Triple-A Pawtucket or whatever it is. What's their last night?
Fucking shout.
7 earned runs in a third of an inning.
I always liked Paxton.
So I think when you look at this lineup, I think Tyrone Hawk's going to stay in the starting rotation. Chris Sale finally has a good start after like 3 years. See if we can build off that. Garrett Whitlock seems to be you're probably one of better pitchers in the starting rotation. Brian Bello, hopefully he responds after his tough one. And then my guy, the number 5 starter, Nick Pivetta. Just a definition of your 4th, 5th starter just seems to be solid every time it goes out.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Red Sox, what's big for the Red Sox and why they are 500 is the lineup. Like, their lineup is now kind of coming around into an MLB lineup. Like, some of the lineups they had against the Rays, it's like, what? It's Devers and a bunch of schmucks. And Justin Turner, he's done. The guy fucking blows.
Yeah, he's wild. Yeah,
he cannot be your DH. The fact they
keep adding Turner and Yoshida 3rd and 4th is mind-boggling. But I guess
they
have no one else.
He's gone ice cold too, huh?
Yoshida? Yeah, he's a routine ground ball.
He's a ground ball out, like just driving it.
He had 2 hits today. Hopefully he comes back and plays better. But
not really expecting.
Course. It's still definitely early. It's in a 10-10. Which is good for 5th place in the AL East.
I mean, if you look at that Orioles lineup too, with those young guns, with
the Orioles are good.
Adley's going to be an AL MVP candidate.
He is.
No, he's not. He's a catcher.
Maybe not this year, but like
no catcher in MLB will ever be.
Okay,
you're right. Joe Mauer and Buster Posey just don't exist.
It's not the same baseball now. It's not the same baseball anymore.
No, they just don't exist.
It's just not the same baseball anymore.
Can I give a shout out to my boy Reese McGuire?
No.
After jerking off in the Dollar Tree. And then that joke will never get old. I think he's batting he's got the best batting average with at least 100 at bats since like last August. That's insane.
That guy, like Luis, like Arraez, is still hitting like fucking like 500.
Who? The Twins.
Guy. He's like a perennial, like top of the league, like average guy, but he's still at like 450 or something.
And then what's his name? Since I'm going off about the Red Sox right now, Jaron Duran has stepped in since last weekend. Pretty sure he's like 5 doubles in like the last 5 games. If they can get a center fielder after the only thing really going for them besides Devers, Duvall goes down, breaks his wrist in the first week of the season after hitting 4 jacks and batting 1,000.
I mean, Duvall was not. He was. You're lucky he did that, because he was going to go like over 32 in June, and everybody's going to turn on him. He never hit over like 240.
Every fastball he was getting down the middle, he was just fucking
crushing
to the moon.
he was just doing that April thing. Bombs, remember like Chris Shelton for the Tigers when he had like 16 home runs in like the first month of the season? Like, he broke the record and then like ended with like 25.
Yeah. He reminded me of a Willie Mo Pang and just absolutely beasting on fastballs.
Chris Davis. Yeah. Either Chris Davis. Fucking just like absolutely going, yeah.
It's Chris Davis, the A's one. Is he still in
Chris
the elite?
K? Yeah. No,
he batted literally .247 four straight years in a row.
And like 40 home runs.
No, he was a fantasy baseball legend for me.
But
I took him every year.
You play 162 games. He played most of them, and he batted the same exact average 4 years in a row. Talk about consistency.
No, like, and 247, exactly. Like, that's crazy.
A little bit on the Rays side. Who's your MVP in the first
It's easy. It's games. Brandon Lau.
Brandon Lau.
I mean, the Red Sox cannot get him out. They need to get in the lab.
My boy Randy playing well.
The whole team's playing well. The difference between this Rays team and the previous is, you know, they always have that pitching. They always have it. They're just a pitching factory. But they're hitting. They're a dangerous lineup now. They've never had a lineup even close to this level. Whether it's Yandy, you know, Wander, Randy, freaking. You always had Kiermaier, you know, some shitty catcher, and then like a Japanese second baseman they all hit like a .190. it was just like an automatic 7-8-9-0.
No, you're not wrong.
And they don't have it anymore. They're actually like a very good lineup through and through. They're pitching. I mean, Rasmussen's been fantastic. Up and down. Todd Bradley looked nasty against the Red Sox. I think he had 9 Ks in his first start ever in the majors. McClanahan's gonna be in the Cy Young competition, and you know, we'll see if Glasnow ever, you know, can get healthy. The MLB has fucking ruined him.
Has he pitched at all?
No. I think he's pitching. I don't know. They took away his pine tar. Well, how about Scherzer getting fucking,
yeah, that was bullshit. It was like a
ridiculous
10 game suspension. 10 games.
He can appeal it, though. I think it'll work out.
It's a 5, though.
Yeah. No, I think it'll be fine.
That's bullshit.
You could see how serious he was.
He's a psychopath.
In the post-game thing, he was literally, like, on, like, my kids' lives. It was sweat and roses. it was very intense. Like, that man was telling the truth.
Yeah.
That guy was not cheating.
He wasn't bullshit. Yankees 12-7. Steals got to Yankees.
Gerrit Cole went in the Cy Young.
How about Franchy Cordero with the 4 dingers?
Franchy Cordero's been a fucking savage. He's really pissed off Jared Carabas, who calls him an asshole repeatedly. But no, everything's going good. I said before the season, the number one player in the MLB that the lack of shifts would help was Anthony Rizzo. He leads the team in average, batting .344 still.
It's going to be nuts to see
the split. He's obviously not going to hit like that.
To see the splits at the end of the season, it's going to be nuts to see the guys that make the most difference in that.
Oh, yeah, because he was one of the guys that would have like 6 people on the right side of the field. Like, and they can't do that anymore. So now his thing that would hit this second baseman that is playing right field, like it drops now. So he's very much back. He's a contact hitter almost, including the power. Judge is off to a great start. Gleyber's off to a great start. And Stan's already hurt, so we're in midseason form.
Perfect.
Stanton, when he hits a ball, it's fucking scary. Him, the only one who matches that power in the American League. No, well, I was gonna say Denver. It's like opposite field. When Stanton fucking puts one that way, is like, it's crazy.
But don't get me wrong, Devers is a great hitter. But those dudes are just so big. When it goes off the bat, it's like
Devers' power is opposite field power is outrageous.
Unreal.
No, yeah, like Stanton, like you do not, like the camera does not need to turn.
He doesn't turn. He doesn't even.
Yeah,
like he does
that,
like the most nonchalant.
Like, you know that thing is fucking way over
He's
there.
So nonchalant about hitting a home run.
Yeah. Because it swings so like, it's so like flat.
Yeah.
That it just fucking, then it just goes like 480.
Can I interrupt about your fucking Rays, glory? So you've played the Tigers, the Nationals, the A's, the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, and the Reds. Outside of maybe the Blue Jays, who you lost 2 or 3 from, who the hell have you played?
Who have you played? The Rays.
Probably no one.
The Rays.
Played the Rays. Got swept.
Yeah. There you go. So shut up.
Top.
We played the Angels. Took 3 or 4.
We did what we had to do. We beat good teams.
Beat the
what
Twins.
Do you mean?
Took 3 of 4.
You got to beat the bad teams. What do you mean? You can't fucking change your schedule for Adam Nazzaro.
I'm on team no defense with the Red Sox. I'm not going to. How about Joey Gallo, huh?
I hate that.
He's bad like life. He's bad like 350 the other night, but he returned from the IL, 3-run homer last night.
Gross.
Who fucking cares? Talk about the shifts. He might be a guy that helps, but.
Yeah,
Rizzo
hits the ball but gets out.
I was gonna say he's a low contact guy.
Yeah, like he just strikes out and hits a home run.
All right, I'm gonna go to this roster right now. Guys, already can get off my team on the Red Sox. Ryan Brazier, get off the team. Corey Kluber, get off the team. Caleb Ort, maybe just go back down to AAA. We'll see what you got. Connor Wong, get out of here.
He sucks.
He's thrown out one runner or something like that, and like they're going nuts because. He's thrown one guy more than Reese McGuire has. Reese McGuire's here for his bat.
He's got a terrible arm.
Connor Wong can't. Yeah, I think we can hit better than him. Anyone on the infield here that I'm getting sick of? No one really. Yu Chang hit another home run, I think, which I'm a big fan of. Jaren Duran. Rob Refsnyder is just a dog. Ramel Tapia.
Former Yankee. Red Sox killer. Rob Refsnyder.
Yeah. Verdugo's been the MVP of the team. And then, yeah, Yoshida's got to step up his shit, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that's early.
So that's how I feel about the Sox.
Great segment, Adam. That was just riveting.
Yeah, who to get off my team and who's staying on? I'm kind of just talking
without
about
even looking
on.
At the roster. Fuck Aaron Hicks.
He was a phenomenal player at one point,
and it's not anymore.
It's crazy how they just like it just happens,
and they still put him fucking out there, and then they have him hit like ahead of Higashioka, ahead of like Heider Falefa, and it's just like that's three automatic outs. And you put that in the lineup. Like, you picked that. You took a list of names and you picked three outs in a row.
If I was Aaron Boone, I'd bet him lead off just to piss you off.
That day will probably come because Aaron Boone likes to piss me off.
Got some guest spotlight here as, whenever a guest comes on, usually big things happen. Leading the way, frontlining, Zay Flowers, who's going to be a first night pick next week in the NFL draft. It has been me with a bunch of teams, but broken by Adam Schefter. I guess he went out to the Kansas City or wherever area and threw balls with Pat Mahomes. Would we like Zay Flowers on the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yes.
For him, definitely. Like for myself, no. Because I'd have to like support the Chiefs a little bit.
At this point, we had 20 years of fucking Brady. We just got to just suck football stick.
Like, yeah.
We just
got to
eat it. I'm rooting for us.
It would be cool for our friend because then he'd Super Bowl contender. Like, he'd be there.
Only
like,
two teams
that'd
be kind of be pissed that he went to would be the Jets and the Bills.
Jets would suck. The Bills would be kind of sick, though, because, like...
Yeah, like, imagine playing alongside Stephon Diggs with Josh Allen throwing you.
Like, again, just supporting him, like, that's a good team.
They were
like,
saying if the Bills traded, I think, the 27th or 28th overall pick for DeAndre Hopkins, they've gotten, like, the... Because Hopkins and Diggs were in the same class.
Yeah.
If you look at, like, who they've traded for from that draft class, it's, like, outrageous. The players they have from that draft class.
Oh, that's nuts.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely a destination where he could go. It sounds like he doesn't want to go to the Pats.
Would you?
No.
I mean, I wouldn't want fucking baby Mac Jones to throw to me.
Well, who knows? It's going to be a quarterback battle. A quarterback battle.
I'm not going to watch
the diner
if
talking.
I hear Zappy, I'm going to fucking...
Zappy.
How about McSorley?
I'd rather that.
Fuck that.
I am not on the Zappy train at all.
I'm on the Zappy train.
I am not. I'm not on the. I'm not even. No.
I want to see a competitive battle.
I want. No. I want.
May the best man win.
As like kind of a Penn State hater, get Trace McSorley out of my face.
He's a great third string though.
No,
that's. He'll be great on scout.
Elite name though. Trace McSorley is such a fucking sick name. Like if you just hit like a random name generator in some like game, like that's what you come up with.
It is.
Yeah, like just it's like incredible.
He's pretty athletic. He could probably pose as like a shitty wide receiver. You know what I mean?
Could try.
Yeah, he could definitely try. Probably not succeed. Also on the forefront of guests, big shout out to Nick Timberlake, Braintree, Mass native. After 4 or 5 years at Townsend University, being the lead baller there, transfers for his grad year to the Kansas Jayhawks. One of my favorite, top college teams.
You're the Kansas guy.
Won a national championship a couple years ago. But, great to see that. I think we're going to have him on the show in a couple weeks, and he's going to tell us what's what.
No, absolutely. Cool. Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. I mean, anytime you get, one of the like blue chip teams like that. Like, that's an incredible. I mean,
I knew he was going to transfer, but I thought he was going to go to like BC or like, I don't know, someplace local where he could like finish off around here. But going to an elite talent like that, man, you have one good year. You never know what can happen, man.
No, you're on to, you know, probably at worst the Sweet 16, maybe. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, even just his trajectory, like
you're at Kansas.
You have a great year for that team. Who knows, you know, G League, some, you know.
Oh, yeah, you're on national TV. Scouts are at every single one of your games. Like,
he's a baller, too, man. He can shoot.
Like scouts were probably a thousand, like, for him, like, a little bit, like, because he was, like, I'm pretty sure, at least close to a leading scorer.
Yeah.
Not the leading scorer.
Great dude, too. We reached out to Kansas. Yeah.
Like, every NBA team.
We reached out to him. He got right back to us and, like, was just like, yeah, he's coming on the pod. So stay tuned for that one. That'll be a good one. Anton, you're here. I haven't been here in 3 months, man. Anything you want to get off your chest?
No. Suspension's lifted. I want to shout out the Nazaros for having my back through the suspension. Not Adam or Mikey, but like Andrew, you're a real one. Thank you for allowing me through the suspension.
We almost had to replace the door over there because of you.
That was fucking hysterical. That was so funny.
There was a cord there.
I don't think there was. I think that was just a face.
We were about 20 minutes in the recording and you were blackout.
I don't black.
I don't know.
I thought it was going to shatter.
You black in then. I don't know. MMA fighter, New England Cartel, Nick Fiore. Rumor has it he's about to be squaring off with Chase Hooper, that motherfucker. In the UFC next month, took down Pete Barrett a couple years ago. We watched. He's a tactical guy on the ground. I think Nick's pretty good at jiu-jitsu. I think he's going to get the job done. But a big shout-out to him. We'll definitely be rooting for him that time. And
absolutely.
We wanted to get him on after the last fight. I know you know, the odds were stacked up against him. I think he was the last call to like get on that card. So we lost. So we didn't bring him on. I would have brought him on anyways. I just didn't want to do that to him. But I was hoping to win over Chase Hooper and talk to him again.
If he were to win, we would need to like get Chase Hooper's next opponent on, because the pod would be 1-1 versus Chase Hooper.
That is
like
true.
It would be our trilogy fight versus Chase Hooper. Like, we would need his next opponent.
Agreed. That'd be great.
Yeah, fuck him. Let's go.
What else?
I think we talked about it before, but shout out Rob Font too for the knockout of fucking.
Oh
like,
my god,
that guy.
That was talk about trajectories. You know, he lost a couple fights to a couple legends.
Yeah,
and people kind of thought he was a schmuck. You know, on the downward slope. Comes out in the first round like a bat out of hell, dude. Gets the job done first round knockout. I forget the guy's name.
I do too, but he was a guy that like people projected to be like a future champion. Yeah,
yep,
and,
contender.
Like, he got knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, like it wasn't even close.
Yeah, no, it's awesome.
Font put on for the Mass people. Put on for the Miami people. I know he's a Florida guy.
New England Cartel, baby.
Yeah, they ride deep. They ride deep. Anything else? Wrap it up.
Yeah, we want the cup.
We want the cup. So we're next Thursday. We'll be back here. I'm trying to think if both series will be over. So I'm sticking with Bruins in 5 and Celtics in 4. What do you guys do?
Same. Stay strong.
And you got?
I got Panthers in 7.
Hawks in 7, too?
Say it, you coward. Say it, you coward.
You know I'm not. I don't know if it's going to be a gentleman's sweep or not. I don't see them winning more than one game. I think they win one game. I'll say Celtics in 5.
No, that's fine. Gentleman sweep's fine. Picking the Hawks to win more than once, outrageous.
I think so. I mean, at this point, too, especially. I just see... Like, the Celtics will get, like, lackadaisical or something in one game. You know, like, that's the one thing.
Or Murray goes not to like go back with you,
but, like, the one thing that they just haven't stepped in their throats and just won by 30. Like, they've let them back in the game, like, twice now.
The last time the Celtics played the Atlanta Hawks in the first round of the playoffs, they fucked around and won a championship.
There we go.
Love that.
Was that the... No, never mind.
1-7 games, actually. That was a dog of a team. That was Al Horford as rookie. Joe Johnson, I think you had a couple other guys.
Oh, that Hawks team was sick.
Mike Bibby.
Josh Smith was
sick. That team was sick.
That's Mike Medeiros' favorite 2K team ever.
I can't believe they were an 8 seed.
We had Xbox 360, and he, this is kind of a funny story. Yeah. So we were messaging, and like we were that good that he got up into like the rank, but like low, whatever. And he messaged like the number one, ranked 13 player in the world. again to play, like, because we thought like we had like a, you know, kind of like a cheat code. Like Mike was that good, and he plays this guy. He's down like 40 in like this like before halftime. The guy just like goes on like a fast break, goes up as the guy's in the air. He pauses it himself, does a replay for us for like 10 minutes, and then quits. Like, I know, joke. I was like, holy shit.
Wow. Fuck.
He would tell it better, but I'll never forget that.
Was Showtime and Magic? No Showtime Magic tonight?
No.
Past their bedtime?
No. Magic heard I was coming. He ran.
Steele, you were in AC last weekend. How was that?
It was a blast. It was a very good. It was a very good time. I lost miserably in the casino. But I had an absolute blast. Haraz Hotel. Harris. I don't know how you pronounce it.
Oh, is that like the poker?
It was everything. Like, yeah. It had everything.
No, but the they have the big poker games.
They might. I don't know. Oh, yeah. Wasn't hitting the big. Yeah. Not what I was looking at. But no, I had a blast. Great time. They had like this pool thing. Giant EDM fucking speakers going crazy. You could barely hear anything. Mist coming down. Strobe lights.
Sounds miserable.
Did you wake up on the beach awesome. In the morning, or did you not wake up and just go on the beach?
We did the boardwalk. There was not really any beach.
Any Wally Beach vibes?
Yeah, big time. Like throwback Wally Beach vibes in that place. But no, it was cool. It was fun.
Folks,
I'll attend again.
Yeah, want to thank you for tuning in. Hedge Better, Justin making this all possible. Like I said in the beginning of the show, big shout out to Side Edge Fitness Performance, Craig Kelly. Keep doing what you're doing at 101 French Avenue in Braintree, Mass. Also, the law office of Patrick J. Foley. Another big shout out, marathon runner once again, got the job done. Seaport Social, go have a burger or something. It's pretty good out there. What's that address? Something northern, 225 Northern Ave, Seaport, Boston.
Yeah, today would have been a great day.
Yeah,
it's beautiful out.
Yeah, gonna be a little rainy, I think, come Sunday. But actually, I'm getting my first golf round in at home this Saturday. Gonna be good.
Where at?
New England Country Club in like Bellingham. It's gonna be tough.
That sounds miserable.
It's gonna be a great day.
Yeah,
just go to Fredericksburg like a normal human.
Yeah, there's
Christ.
Three. There's
dude,
three.
It's crazy.
In the city.
Everyone likes to golf, dude. Like, it's tough to get tee time.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now, too, everybody's like faking their golf game. Like, I'm gonna get out there all year, and then they go out twice.
No,
I'm not even gonna.
So
pretend.
You gotta go to Bellingham.
It's a half hour.
That is not a half hour. I don't know where Bellingham is.
Yeah,
it's not a half hour.
It's a half hour.
If you asked me, was that like in Massachusetts, I'd like look at no.
Next to Hopkinton, dude, we're good.
That's not happening.
That's where the marathon starts.
Yeah. Oh,
bang.
You running?
No way.
Coward.
We're driving, baby. We're driving. Be safe out there, everyone. Episode 121 in the books. That's all from Steele and Naz. Have a weekend. We want the cup. Go Bees.
Go C's.
We want to ring. Go C's. Go Sox.
No.